Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Wednesday evening, we welcome you in. It is time for a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. A very special happy KMOX day to you. It is November 20th, 11/20. So it is KMOX day, and we've been able to celebrate throughout the course of the day, and we will continue to do that. I didn't realize Michael Calhoun during Total Information PM was running a bunch of old promos and things like that that were that was fun. That was really cool to be able to hear back some of that stuff, which was really good. And for somebody like me that grew up listening to the station, for many people like you who probably have a lot of great memories of the station as well, it's fun to be able to go back and hear the history of the station as we continue to move forward as well. With that, reminder for you, when we get done at 8 o'clock tonight, it is the Gas House Gang. So you actually get 3 hours of me tonight because I'll be joined by Tom Ackerman for the Gas House Gang from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening here on KMOX. We've got a lot coming up on the program. Our guy, Bernie Miklas, he's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so at 6:20. To start off next hour, we're going to talk with Andrew Wagner, covers the Brewers, and it's yesterday Pat Murphy won the National League Manager of the Year Award, so we'll talk with him about that. We'll also talk to about their offseason, because the indication is that Devin Williams is likely to get traded. Is that going to happen? How soon could it happen? And what are the expectations for next season? On another year where the Brewers were kind of downplayed by most people, including myself, and then they end up winning the division. Also coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Kevin Kalish. He is the head men's soccer coach over at St. Louis University as they are getting ready to open up their run in the NCAA tournament coming up tomorrow. Some breaking news. The Cy Young Award winners have been announced. If you are shocked by this, you haven't paid attention. Because yesterday, I thought Stephen Vogt was going to win the American League Manager of the Year Award. I could make arguments yesterday on the National League side for any of those three guys. Whether it was Pat Murphy, Mike Schilt, or Carlos Mendoza, any of those guys could have easily won that award. And you could make arguments, I think, for any of them. Now, the voting overwhelmingly went with Murphy, but I think there was ways to make the argument for any of them. I don't think there's ways to make arguments for the other guys tonight. Tarek Skubal wins it, the Detroit pitcher, and then Chris Sale, the Braves pitcher, wins it on the National League side of things. Not a shocker. So that's where that's at. And yeah, good for those guys, and just fun to see these awards continue to move forward. We'll talk a fair amount of baseball on the program today. I do want to start real quick with the Blues, and we'll get Bernie's thoughts on, and then we'll circle back to the Blues coming up later on this hour, because There's kind of two stories right now. Story number one is they're just not very good. They've lost 6 of their last 7. They're giving up a ton. a ton of third period goals. Like I yesterday they give up three. Admittedly, one of them is an empty netter. So even if they just give up the two, it's still too many. That's just been something that's been happening recently. They are really, I was going to say snake bit. I don't even know if that's like the snake bit indicates like bad luck. They're not snake bit. This is not a luck, unlucky type situation. There was that game against Buffalo last week where Jordan Kyrou hit the post. I guess that's bad luck when you get that close and you're not able to convert. But this is not a lucky versus unlucky type situation for the Blues. They're just not playing good enough hockey right now. So that's one thing. And the other bummer on that is it was the first game back for Robert Thomas, and you would think that the team would get kind of a bump from having him back, and it didn't really feel that way. So they've got to figure this thing out at some point. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they are a Stanley Cup contending team or anything like that, but I think they're better than they're showing right now. Now, all that being said, I keep repeating this over and over and over, and I will continue to repeat this over and over and over until it's not really the case anymore. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. They've got 17 points right now. The final playoff team is Vancouver in the West, 21 points. Not a big deal. If the Blues kind of turn it around, like this is where Kevin Wheeler and I actually, I think, disagreed a little bit during our 5:15 sports today, because I brought that up, and he's like, well, you got to go on a pretty good winning streak. I don't think you do. You just got to go play better hockey and, you know, win more games than you lose and things like that. And I think you're going to slowly but surely knock down that deficit again. Only 4 points separating the Blues from a playoff. So it also, interestingly enough, only 4 points separate the Blues from being the worst team in the conference. The Chicago Blackhawks have 13 points. The Blues have 17. So you can, this is one of those things where you like spin numbers. You can push it in either direction. You can sit here and say, oh, well, the Blues are only 4 points out of a playoff spot. True. The Blues are only 4 points away from being the worst team in the Western Conference. Also true. So that's where, and we're not just worst team in the Western Conference, worst team in the NHL, because the worst team in the East is Montreal and Detroit, along with Columbus. Those three teams off 16 points. So Chicago with 13. By the way, the jerseys, the sweaters for the Winter Classic came out. I like them. I heard from people today that did not like them. A lot of people thought maybe the Blackhawks jersey looked better than the Blues jersey. I guess I can buy that. I don't have a problem with the blue note not being on the front. The first time ever. It's still pretty noticeable on the shoulder, and it's actually kind of a different looking blue note. They kind of get this retro look. So I like the sweaters. I think they look good. It'll be fun to see them wearing them in the Winter Classic. The other Blues story, and we'll talk about this, Jim Montgomery's all of a sudden available. Former Blues assistant was in Boston. He got let go. He's a coaching free agent, has a lot of connections to the Blues, and he's already, not by me, but he's already been connected to the Blues. There was a piece in The Athletic today that featured the top four likely destinations for Montgomery next, because he's going to get another job, and they listed the Blues number one. So I don't know if that puts a little pressure on Drew Bannister or not, but I'm sure Bannister would rather his team start picking up some victories with that hanging out there. All right, we will. When we come back, we're going to hear from Bernie Miklas. We'll talk with him about all those things plus much more. Our guy joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Podcast. is presented by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Back at it here on KMOX. We're going to talk with Bernie Miklas here in just a moment or so as we have our weekly conversation with Bernie. A lot of things to get to with him coming up in just a moment here on KMOX. And again, a reminder for you, next hour, Andrew Wagner is going to join us. And we're also going to talk with Kevin Kalish, the men's soccer coach at St. Louis University. So we've got quite the group that we are talking to today, and certainly looking forward to that. So yeah, we'll get Bernie on coming up in just a moment. Want to get his thoughts on the Blues and the Jim Montgomery news and whether or not that could result in something here. Again, I'm not calling for Drew Bannister to get fired. I certainly am not doing that, but it is hockey and coaches lose their jobs. And if that happens with Montgomery out there, does that make the Blues more willing to make a change? I don't know. So we'll go through that. Wanted to talk to him. And again, we'll get him on the line in just a moment or so. Torrey Holt is back on the finalist list for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, last year it felt like there was a chance that he was going to be able to get in. It didn't end up happening. And now we'll see. And the thing about this is every year new guys get onto the ballot. That makes it sometimes a struggle. And Bernie Miklas does join us now. Bernie, appreciate you taking time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Always a pleasure to talk with you. How you doing?
I am good. I've remembered you talking in the past about being in the room for when the voting's going on for Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I know you have presented on people's behalf before, both St. Louis Cardinals and St. Louis Rams. Are you still involved? I'm just saying, you know, in terms of Torrey Holt, I'm curious who's advocating for him. Who is that right now? Are you still involved in that? What is that process like?
No, I'm retired from the Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee. I had a long run, and it was very enjoyable and satisfying, and also served on the Veterans Committee, helped get guys like Jerry Kramer in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and many others. Howard Balzer, a longtime football writer here in St. Louis, now living in Arizona, you know, and he's still an officer in the Pro Football Writers Association, so he represents, you know, St. Louis Rams candidates that are still out there like Torrey Holt. And he does a really good job because I've reviewed it with him every year. Like some of the things, I compare notes. I find some other things maybe to offer to H if he hadn't heard about this or that. So he's well prepared and he makes a good presentation. I think maybe Torrey Holt's got a good chance this time, but it's a strange situation because there's always wide receivers stacked up on the runway. And, you know, you can't have a class that's all wide receivers. You know, there's only five modern day candidates maximum who get in every year, you know. So it's a type of thing where if it's a benefit of the doubt, I know from being in the room, you know, rather than like try to get three wide receivers in there, you know, you just realize there's equal players at other positions. And, you know, we should account for players at other positions as long as they are as great at what they did as the receivers were at what they did. And, you know, it's just it's sort of a thankless task at times because people think for some reason, you know, we're allowed to vote like 28 guys in every year or something. And I always used to say, in fact, I got into a big argument with Marshall Faulk one time because, you know, after two of these three things, he would say, well, you guys are crazy. How come you don't have this guy in? And this is just ridiculous. You guys ought to be embarrassed. I said, okay, before you go on the NFL Network, though, Marshall, so make sure when you go on the NFL Network and complain about this and talk about how stupid we are, you make sure you tell everyone who you would have taken out. Like, in other words, who would you have left out? And you know what, Marshall? You're not going to say that because you don't want to offend a guy that was one of your peers. So I said, you know, people like that always want to rip the committee. But someone prominent in the media, they'll never say who they would have displaced to get their guy in, you know? So it gets a little, it used to get very irritating in a lot of ways, but I took it very, very seriously and put a lot into it.
Yeah, it's an interesting process. I always feel like I appreciate the guys in the room working on it, even at times when I get frustrated. And you see the new candidates that come in. You know, this year it's an Eli Manning and Antonio Gates and a Jared Allen. And when you're holding on for somebody who's already been on the list before, I think you get worried every single time you see a new crop come in because it almost feels like some players are even further away.
Yeah, I know. That's, you know, and – Torrey Holt's kind of slipped through the cracks, but the thing of it is, I don't have the information in front of me, but he's been a finalist a bunch of times, and there is a history in voting. If you've been a finalist more than, say, like two times, you eventually get in. I mean, like the percentage of that is like 100%. It's just that he's had to wait a little longer, and I give him a lot of credit because he's been really, really classy and really patient with it. He doesn't lash out and throw tantrums the way like Terrell Owens did because he wasn't a first ballot guy, as if he had an inalienable right to be a first ballot guy. Never mind the fact there were other receivers just as great, if not better than him, but you know, he wouldn't even attend his own induction ceremony. I mean, so he does. So Torrey Holt, you know, he has never been a baby about this. I really, really admire his class in being patient, and I'm hoping this is the year. But there's other, you know, there's other wide receivers. There's always other wide receivers, and it makes it tough. And you never know who. All of a sudden, there'll be this sudden push to get some guy in who maybe wasn't being pushed as hard. I don't have any say in that, so I can't push back because I'm no longer in the room.
Bernie Miklas continues to join us for a weekly conversation here on Sports Open Line. Did you have much of a reaction to Pat Murphy winning the Manager of the Year award yesterday? I thought all three candidates you could make arguments for, Schilt and Mendoza as well. I was a little surprised how overwhelmingly Murphy was voted in.
Well, you know, the thing about those awards, especially when it comes to team or team-oriented awards like Manager of the Year, Derek Gould is the one that pointed me out to this. Joe Strauss did too. A lot of times the votes are based on who – it's a reflection on the writers who vote, not – it's a reflection on how far off base they were in their preseason predictions.
Yeah.
In other words – Craig Council leaves Milwaukee. Boy, oh my gosh, that's a huge loss. So the Brewers can't possibly win this division again. I know some people thought they would, but like by and large, no, they were written off. So therefore, because they win the division and win it easily, and we, all of us baseball writers, were wrong about that. Well, that must mean that Pat Murphy's the Manager of the Year. You see how that goes? It's really kind of, if you think about it, it's really kind of almost devious. It's like, listen, this isn't about whether your predictions were right. It's about maybe who did the best job. And I think he did a great job. Don't get me wrong. I think he was deserving. And people got to remember that this is a regular season award. It's not a postseason award. But I thought there was a really strong case for Mike Schilt. I mean, his second most wins in the history of the franchise. He took a very volatile, very nasty, very divided clubhouse and made it whole and just built a nice culture in no time. And they were just, you know, they were just a killer in the second half of the season. So I think Schilt was just as deserving. But I really just can't sit here and say anybody was wrong for voting for Pat Murphy. But I do say, yeah, part of it is because it's like, well, you know, because you didn't know how to pick the division, which is fine. That doesn't mean the guy that won the division is necessarily Manager of the Year. It's because it's not about your predictions, so take yourself out of it as voters.
I think there is some humor in the fact that Craig Council never won it in Milwaukee, even with all those teams that overachieved, and then Murphy wins it in his first year while Craig is struggling in Chicago.
Yeah, and how about Schilt's career? You know, so 2019, he's the Manager of the Year. In 2021, his final year as the Cardinals manager, he finished third. And this is his first year back as a manager, and now he finishes second. So I don't even count 2020 as a full year. So if you just look at the full years Mike Schilt had as a manager, 2019, 2021, and 2024, he's finished first or second or third in all of those years. I mean, I think that's an incredibly impressive achievement. And I don't think that part of it's gotten enough national attention.
No, you're right.
How many guys get named? Basically, every year they've managed a full season, they've made the podium in the Manager of the Year voting, either the gold, the silver, or the bronze. That's really impressive.
Yeah, and you know, to your point, I feel like to become a manager of the year, either it is you really outdo expectations, or maybe you have a horrible start to the season and turn it on. You know, if Mendoza would have won, that would have been the excuse for that. The team was terrible for a while and then they turned it on, or you just have a team that is just a behemoth and you can't help. But, you know, like if a Dave Roberts wins it from the Dodgers, one of those type years. But for one of those three circumstances to happen to the same guy year after year after year is incredibly unlikely.
It is, and I think he was well-deserving, and he's really a heck of a manager. I mean, there's no other way to get it. He used to drive me nuts after games with, kind of the scratching and clawing, you know, and all the time. And, I mean, come up with some new material. And he would take exception if, you know, people in the media asked, like, well, why'd you lose this series and blah, blah, blah. And he'd get real mad about stuff. He was a nice guy, though, but. So I used to not like his post-game stuff that was on TV, and I would make fun of it, frankly, on the radio. And people thought that that meant that I didn't like him as a manager, that he was lousy as a manager. Well, quite the contrary, because the post-game stuff's got nothing to do with his managing. Time has proven, yet again, he's very good running a baseball team.
Last thing for you before we get you out of here. The Blues lose again yesterday. They don't get a bump from Robert Thomas being back. All the while, Jim Montgomery's been let go in Boston, and he has ties to the team and to the city. In no way, shape, or form am I calling for Drew Bannister to be fired, but there was already a piece that ran in The Athletic today that mentioned the most likely landing spots for Montgomery, and they listed the Blues first. If anything, it feels like maybe there is a little bit more pressure on Bannister now that you've got Montgomery hanging out there as a free agent.
Well, and this gives me a chance to promote the fact that I did a YouTube video on my Bernie Miklas Show channel today. It's still up there. People can go see it. And one of the points I made is, look, I feel unfair. I feel it's unfair to talk about, well, bring Jim Montgomery in and displace Bannister. I'm not saying that this is fair to make the case, but hockey coaches are fired every 8 minutes, basically. So let's not act like that this would be one of the most sinister things ever done to a coach. And the other thing, and I'm talking about if they don't get their act together soon, because they are really, really wallowing now. And worst record in the league since October 26th. They've scored only 7 goals in their last, 10 goals in their last 7 games. The lack of effort is pretty glaring. So here, and I don't want to go on too long, so tell me when to wrap it up, but here's my thing about this. It's a brutal, brutal existence when you're an NHL coach. So it might not be fair, this idea that Drew Bannister, as the full-time coach, interim label gone, he's only 20 games into his first season. However, if you're the general manager that fired Craig Berube, the only guy to win a Stanley Cup in franchise history, and you decided, I'm going to fire him, because we need to make the change. And the replacement is a no-name coach who's unestablished, Drew Bannister. Then if you had the gumption to do that, then why wouldn't you have the same gumption when you have a guy, Jim Montgomery, that Doug Armstrong loves, and he would have hired him had the Bruins fired him after last year's playoffs, but they kept him. If Montgomery was your guy all along, and he was, and you had the stones to fire a Stanley Cup winning coach, well, what, you're going to get bashful now about hiring the guy that you wanted in the first place? I mean, I'm not being cold towards Drew Bannister, but let's not act like children. I mean, this is a very, very tough league where coaches get devoured all the time.
Are you a zero-sum game kind of guy that if you sit there and say, Jim Montgomery is greater than Drew Bannister, then there should be no other considerations?
No, I wouldn't say that, but the other considerations, like fairness, well, he's only had 20 full games, as a full-time head coach. That's not fair to remove him this early. That's a consideration. I'm acknowledging it. That's a consideration. I don't feel good about making it sound like I'm saying do it right now. But here's the thing. If you spend too much time about worrying about that consideration, well, how much time do I give him? Oh, we better give him at least maybe till Christmas. You think Jim Montgomery's going to sit around and wait and wait and wait and wait when other teams are calling him? So you risk losing him by delaying. If in fact, this is something you want to do, but you're holding out because you want to see if Bannister can get this thing turned around. Well, the question is, how long do you wait before you encounter a very real risk of losing Jim Montgomery because you waited too long?
Yeah. And look, there are some teams out there. I look specifically at Montreal, Detroit, and Pittsburgh, especially Pittsburgh, teams that are underachieving with high expectations, where if they decide to pull that trigger, I'm sure they'll be looking Montgomery's way.
I'd put Nashville on that list, too. They're underachieving, you know?
Yeah.
And there's the natives are restless down there, too.
As restless as they can be in Nashville?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they pretty are. They get pretty wound up.
Bertie, appreciate your time as always. And of course, before we let you go, we want to remind folks, you mentioned your YouTube channel at The Bernie Show, the at symbol, The Bernie Show on YouTube. Hopefully all of our listeners subscribe and watch your videos on a daily basis. And of course, you are brought to us every day by
Saliga Heating and Cooling. And you want me to talk about them for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, first of all, you know, been in St. Louis since 1927. They're an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealership, and they have been taking care of us for a long, long time, 15, 16 years at the Miklas home, and we've come to appreciate them because of their integrity, their knowledge, the fact that we can trust them. And listen, when you've been around since 1927, the same family continuously owned this. Let's keep this simple. Who can you trust in this business? What do you look for when you're trying to make a decision? Well, one family continuously owned since 1927, almost 100 years, and they're still going strong. They're still growing, and more St. Louis families are calling them. They passed the credibility test, if you ask me, and they certainly passed the trustworthiness test, because if you weren't reliable that way, you still wouldn't be here. But Saliga Heating and Cooling, backed by American Standard, is very much here. Hey, they have financing available for you, for qualified buyers, and they have a maintenance program. You can get your heating, make sure everything's okay before the harsh stuff comes. Same in the summer with the air conditioning. We're members of the Priority Club program, and I would encourage you to take a look at that. But they can do anything you need them to do, big or small or somewhere in between. And it's not just heating and cooling. They have other services as well. Go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, to see all the services and more info about the Priority Club. And you can call them at 314-481-7333. Thank you, Matt.
Back at it on KMOX, a very special happy KMOX day to you. It is 11:20, so on 11:20, we celebrate 11:20 a.m. KMOX. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, Andrew Wagner's good. Join us. He covers the Brewers. Pat Murphy winning Manager of the Year award yesterday. I think it's an interesting offseason for the Brewers. They're expected to trade away St. Louis and Devin Williams. So we'll talk to him about that. And then Kevin Kalish, who is the coach of the Sluman soccer team, as they get ready to open up their NCAA tournament run tomorrow evening at home against Kansas City. He is going to join us as well. Welcome your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets here between now and 7 o'clock. If you've got any thoughts on what's going on with the Blues and whether or not you would be interested in seeing them make a move with Jim Montgomery out there. You know, I do kind of pause, and I listen to what Bernie just said when we talked about this a few moments ago, and I have a hard time disagreeing with anything that Bernie said, but I feel kind of dirty with the idea that Drew Bannister could be out of a job so soon in his tenure because of somebody being available. I had a really interesting Twitter exchange with a listener recently, and you know, we don't get that on social media very often, but I enjoy conversations where I get challenged for something that I say. As I've said before, I'm a big believer that if you say it, you need to be able to defend the words that come out of your mouth. And I've taken some issues with Drew Bannister here recently, but my issues with him, honestly, haven't been so much about his job as a coach, which I guess I can take issue with because the team's not playing especially good hockey, but I've just been frustrated with things that he said. And maybe I'm being too hard on him. Maybe I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt when this is a guy who hasn't been in this role before, where you say something somewhat nondescript and somebody like me is going to go do a sentence breakdown and try to figure out why, what's wrong with it. So maybe I'm being a little picky on it, but there's just been some there's been some things that Bannister has said that I haven't really liked. And I've mentioned that. His ability as a hockey coach, I'm sure he is a perfectly good hockey coach. I am not the person to evaluate a hockey coach. I have no reason to believe he is anything but a good, solid hockey coach. So somebody came at me, not came at me, that sounds like negative, like it was a big confrontation. Somebody just tweeted at me and basically said they were surprised at my comments about Bannister because I'm on KMOX, and KMOX is a powerful signal, and he is the coach of our hometown team, the St. Louis Blues, and I should be careful in what I say. And he wasn't accusing me, the person tweeting at me wasn't accusing me of trying to get Drew Bannister fired, but there was kind of like that underlying tone there that maybe he thought that's what I was trying to do, and it really isn't. I think you probably know me well enough now for me doing this the last 2.5 years. I am not somebody that really calls for people to get fired. I always look at the human element first, and that is that's just not in my DNA to spend a lot of time trying to get people fired. So when I'm critical of Drew Bannister, I'm not critical as a way to get this guy out of a job. I'm critical because my job is to evaluate the job he's doing. And as much as it is about coaching hockey, when you are in a front-facing position like that, the comments that you make are part of the job as well, and I was critical of him on that. And then this Jim Montgomery thing happens where he gets let go. And, man, let's not, like, Montgomery checks every box. Checks every single box. Has a home in St. Louis, married to a St. Louisan, has ties to the organization, was an assistant coach for Craig Berube. The Blues helped him out at a time where he was at a weird spot in his career because of some things that happened and kind of gave him a landing spot. And he needed to have it here in St. Louis because this is where he was going to be living at the time. Like, just everything. And he's a really good coach. He's a really good coach. Has a relationship with Doug Armstrong, has a relationship with a bunch of players who are on the roster right now. The man checks every single box. Now, what we don't really know, we don't actually know, is does he need a break? He just got let go in Boston. Is this a guy who needs to take a seat on the couch and breathe for a little bit? And maybe so. Or maybe he's willing to jump right back in. I would say this. The last thing I would want to have happen if I'm the St. Louis Blues is to have this desire for Montgomery to eventually be the coach and to lose out on the opportunity because the timing just didn't work. And what I struggle with a lot, I struggled with this a ton. If Drew Bannister were to be let go tomorrow, it would be incredibly unfair. It would be incredibly unfair. And I am someone who likes to believe in fairness. I am someone who doesn't want to see that happen to somebody. So that's why, again, I'm not sitting here calling on Drew Bannister to be let go. That's not what I'm doing. But I also think that Jim Montgomery is a proven commodity as a high-end NHL coach. Like, there's a handful of those guys around in the NHL, really good high-level coaches. And Montgomery is one of them. Plus, he's got all the ties to St. Louis that I mentioned earlier. And those teams that I mentioned with Bernie, whether it's Pittsburgh or Detroit, or, you know, Bernie mentioned Nashville, whoever it might be, these underachieving teams that have some high expectations for the year, if they decide to make a move and they go get Montgomery, and then this Blues team never really turns around, and it just gets to a point where clearly it's not working with Drew Bannister, well, then you missed out on your opportunity, and you don't know when this opportunity is going to come back around. So I'm torn. I'm totally torn on this whole thing. I would love for Jim Montgomery to be the coach of the Blues, but I would hate for Drew Bannister to be let go 20 games into his tenure. Like, that seems incredibly unfair to me. I guess in a perfect world is the Blues turn things around and really really get things rolling at some point under Bannister, and we just never have to worry about this conversation again. But that you'd like that to happen sooner or later. And now if you're Doug Armstrong, does the leash tighten up a little bit on Bannister? Where 2 days ago, if the thought even crept into the mind of a Doug Armstrong that maybe this Bannister thing isn't working, well, then the only answer then is that you would go to Claude Julien, who is a guy who's had good success as an NHL head coach who's on the bench. Well, I don't know how comfortable they would be with that. Well, now if Montgomery's out there, it looks a little bit different. So, again, I'm trying to be really careful with the words that I'm using here. I really am, because I don't want it to sound like I'm calling for Drew Bannister to be fired. That's not what I'm doing. And if that happens at some point in the near future, which I don't think it will, I think it would be incredibly unfair to him. But, man, when I saw, you know, when Montgomery gets fired, a lot of Blues fans start talking about it. Well, fans saying it is one thing, but when I open up my Athletic app this morning and there's a story about most likely landing spots for Jim Montgomery, and the first spot is St. Louis, and it's a national media piece, that tells me that there's other people beyond fans who are having these thoughts and having these conversations, and I find that to be somewhat interesting. All right, we will take a break. If you've got thoughts on this, we'll try to get them in our final segment. It's going to be a short segment coming up in just a moment. Got a couple text messages that we will go through. We'll do that all in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a moment or so left here in hour number one of the program. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we're going to be joined by my friend Andrew Wagner. He covers the Milwaukee Brewers. Pat Murphy, their manager, being named the Manager of the Year in the National League yesterday. So we'll talk with him about that. And also what the offseason might look like when you think about who the Cardinals will be contending with next year. We always dismiss Milwaukee. We'll probably do it again next year. Are they going to, again, kind of be a run-it-back type of team? We'll talk with them him in just a little bit. Throughout, you know, we've been talking about Jim Montgomery and whether or not there's a future for him in St. Louis and how that impacts Drew Bannister. Got a text message from 304, says, can't they just hire Jim Montgomery as an overpaid advisor and he knows he gets to be the head coach next year? If you're going to do that, you just make him the head coach now. Like, you don't... No, like I don't think that's the... Now, if he's not ready to jump back in full bore and he wants to do some work, some hockey work for the rest of the season, do you bring him in as an advisor or a scout or something like that because you don't want to make a coaching change? Like, I have no problem with him being brought into the organization. But if you bring him into the organization now with the idea that he's going to become the coach next year, well, then you just make that move now, and there's no reason to wait on it. Like, that's not something that you need to do. Or what happens if the Blues really turn things around and you have to bring back Drew Bannister? So, no, I don't think that's a possibility. He's getting paid from Boston, so he probably doesn't have any strong motivation to do much of anything beyond be a head coach. But I do think there is a very, very good chance that Jim Montgomery is going to be a head coach in the NHL before this season comes to an end, because there are a fair amount of underachieving NHL teams and NHL coaches get fired all the time. I don't know if it's going to happen here in St. Louis. I feel kind of dirty even talking about it because Drew Bannister has not been given much of an opportunity yet here in his first full season as the coach. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.